You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, you can't start cranking the Soulja Boy and not do it, Ev.
I mean,
why are you pointing that small?
Because
you started cranking the Soulja Boy. No,
on,
you started it.
I did.
So crank that Soulja Boy.
You just started doing it.
Come on.
Don't start that. Every
we
time
know the whole dance.
You are the self-proclaimed dance king, and yet you refuse to dance in the studio.
Do it.
A little strong.
Do it.
A little strong.
Do it.
I actually don't.
I gotta say it in my Arnold Schwarzenegger voice. Do it.
I swear, I really don't know how to do it. Smalls clearly does. And as she was trying to do it, she knocked into the microphone and pieces of the microphone
correct.
Just fell off.
Yeah. It's magnetic.
Yeah.
You don't really have the space in the studio to really crank that Soulja Boy.
No, we'd have to stand up to
do
the whole thing.
Yeah, we don't really have the space to get it going. You got the bop with the shoulders, though. I see you, Smalls.
Oh, there she goes.
You.
Okay, now I know what was happening. CeCe just wanted to set it up so he could do the Soulja Boy.
We know you know it. There's some offensive linemen that had me doing the Soulja Boy when I played.
Who? Name names.
Oh, Orlando Pace.
Oh.
Chris Samuel. Walter Jones.
Wait, there's okay, hold on. Too many
hold
of them.
On. Hold on.
Willie Rowe.
Okay, there's
wait,
too
wait,
many.
Wait. That crew doing the Soulja Boy in the club, you got to
no,
get a
not
lot
in,
of...
Not in the club,
means,
on the field,
yeah.
Knocking my ass off the ball. You!
I was going to say, the whole dance floor better clear out.
Nah.
You guys are going to do the Soulja Boy.
They had me on skates. I was doing more dancing than I wanted to.
If Tom Coughlin, Bill Damn. Parcells, and John Harbaugh, your three head coaches, are listening, they're very upset right now. That's too many on that list. Too many guys that
all
had
of the
on
guys
stage.
I named are pretty much famers. Gold jacket guys. The only one is not is Chris Samuels, and that's because he had a neck injury. But he would have been.
So that list was how many?
A lot of offensive linemen. Pretty. I mean, offensive line. Here's the thing: we talk about mediocrity in the NFL. I will say this: offensive line play, a lot of mediocrity. Very few top tier offensive linemen.
Now. Who was the one offensive lineman you're lining up with that week? You know you're playing him, and you literally think to yourself, even though I'm a competitor, even though I'm going to give max effort, I love this thing. I wish I was going home instead of going to this game.
Larry Allen. My teammate, Larry Allen.
Just had enough.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it.
But yeah, I wasn't the only guy. Like a lot of players that had the Larry Allen flu, guys that were questionable, guys that were probable, would all of a sudden get downgraded to out because the Dallas Cowboys were on the schedule. That's how I went down. I mean, the man bench pressed 750 pounds. If you don't believe me, go on YouTube and look it up. 750 pounds.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine that guy punching you in your chest, Smalls?
I don't want to.
You imagine that man putting his hands on you?
No.
Forget about it.
I would be dead.
Man, I used to laugh how Larry Allen ragdolled Leroy Glover, who's an all-pro nose tackle in one-on-one pass. Just ragdolled him. Like I'm playing with my nephews, my brother's kids, just ragdolling him. Like that's how good he was.
And it was known. Everybody knew about it.
Everybody knew about it. And I caught him. He was past his prime.
But he's still destroyed.
But the word on the street is in the late 90s, like him and Eric Williams, who was also another all-pro offensive line for the Cowboys, they used to have a standing bet to see who – they could make their guy quit on the defensive line before the other guy could. That was the running bet that they had every single game. It wasn't enough that they could just dominate their opponent. I can make my guy quit before Big E or before L.A. could make their guy quit.
And how do you define quitting? Like, you just have to be honest with
you. Oh, you know. You turn on the film, you'll see a guy when he quit.
Oh, so it's – okay,
you
so
can,
it's
you
film.
Can watch it. You can watch it on the
and
tape.
And so then in the film session, they'd have that moment of, okay, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is. The moment you broke
it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We are on Sportsmanlike on ESPN
it
Radio,
happens.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles. Okay, so college football playoff ranking came out last night. Here's what you have, and it is certainly controversial. Georgia's 1, Michigan's 2, Washington's 3, FSU is 4. So if the season were just to end today, you'd have Georgia and FSU, Michigan and Washington in the college football playoff. Where it gets interesting is Oregon is 5. Okay, fine. Ohio State only dropped to 6. We thought there was a chance they would drop to 7 or 8. Texas is at 7. We thought they would move up. Alabama, we really thought would move up, is at number 8. So there are three things that we've kind of labeled here as beefs that we've had with the College Football Playoff Committee. Number one, we thought that Michigan should have been number 1. Georgia should have been number 2 based on the fact they beat Ohio State and based on the fact that the committee still values Ohio State. That's number 1. Number 2, Ohio State is still technically alive. That no team beyond number 6 has ever made it to the College Football Playoff. Ohio State is number 6. There is a scenario in which Georgia, Michigan, and Washington all win. FSU loses, and then obviously Oregon would lose to Washington. Texas could lose. Texas may not have to lose. Alabama would then lose. That Ohio State actually could get in. That seems crazy. The third thing that we have a beef with is they're based on their rankings, not based on our beliefs. Based on their rankings, it seems as if there is actually a chance, and even if it's 1%, it's too great in our minds, that an SEC team may not make the College Football Playoff.
They are probably really hoping that Georgia beats Alabama.
Yeah.
Because then there isn't this debate that exists. Because if Alabama goes in there and beats Georgia, all of a sudden you have a big convoluted mess that you're going to have to sift through. Because if you're telling me that head-to-head matters, which is why Texas is above Alabama, then how do you not match that same energy with Alabama over Georgia, putting Alabama in the playoff ahead of Georgia if they beat them in the SEC championship game? Because I can't see a world that exists, guys, where an SEC team, even a one-loss SEC team, is not in the college football
playoff. But that's the world that Heather Dennis described after the college football rankings came out last night. She said that if Georgia loses, she doesn't think that they would actually make it into the Final Four, which would be interesting because we're outlining the hurdles that Alabama will have to get into the Final Four. So we would be talking about the preeminent conference in college football not being represented, even though you have two teams at the top, including a conference championship, a conference champion that only has one loss. It would be absolutely ridiculous, and it would take all credibility away from the college football playoff if that would end up happening. But here's the big thing, Ev. All of these different machinations, all of these different scenarios that we're outlining just drives home one point, that this college football playoff format as constituted is ridiculous. It's stupid. It shouldn't be this at all. We should have it opened up, and I'm glad they're changing it to a 12-team format next year because it's an actual playoff, because they're going to be quality teams that actually have a chance to being able to be the best team in the country in the knockout tournament. I just think that makes the most sense. How they've decided to do it over the previous years and now just seems so far removed from what the ultimate objective is, which is to try to find the best team in the country. If you really wanted to do that, then open it up to the top 10 or 12 teams, which is what they're doing next year. The format of the playoff right now, it just drives home the point or the need for college football playoff expansion, just because there are going to be some teams that are left out of the Final Four that could actually go on a playoff run and win the national title.
Yes, but aren't they doing their job in the fact that they've created all of this debate? We're talking about some of the biggest programs, the most storied programs in college football that might be in or out. People who are even casual observers are going to be so locked in to the conference championships because they want to see how this thing plays out.
So you think college football playoff expansion is a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing because there will be more games that there will be more eyeballs on. But I mean, in the moment right now, before expansion does take place, we are debating this from top to bottom. We're going to be debating this across the country today. And that's a good job by the committee in that regard, that they have generated all this conversation around their product.
See, that's a good point that you're bringing up because it does bring the theater, but I'm not going to give them credit for a mistake. They lucked into this. They backed into this. The fact that it created so much controversy, so much speculation. This is trial and error. They were trying to figure it out. They were trying to get it right in the post-BCS world of college football, and they landed on this system where they thought, hey, we're just going to use an arbitrary number. Final Four works in basketball. Let's just have a Final Four in football. But, I mean, football is a different sport, and it's more challenging to parse through the different resumes of teams across five different Power Five conferences, and then you have the Group Five teams that could potentially enter the chat. It made no sense. It was too arbitrary in how they structured it, which is why they needed to open it up to give more teams an opportunity in a single elimination tournament to prove that they were the best team in all of college football. It just drives home the point that the whole system that they created post-BCS was really, really flawed. And now I'm glad that we're moving away from a world where we have to debate whether or not a team from the best conference in all of college football would have the chance to get in if Alabama upsets Georgia this weekend.
So here's what happens next year. The regular season is less interesting. I mean, we have to be honest about that because of the 12 teams. And then what we have on this day next year is kind of similar in a weird way to what we have today with the NBA play-in, or sorry, midseason tournament. There's confusion. There's too many things. Like, we're not going to sit here and debate 12 versus 13. We're just not. We're not going to debate that.
No, we're not going to. We're not going to debate 12 versus 13. But we'll debate is seeding in the playoff because that'll actually matter. That brings in credibility for what we're going to see in the playoff. You can't argue whether or not we're paying attention to the number one seeds in each conference in the NFL. Why? Because it gives you a better chance at winning a championship. Yeah, okay. Those things are actually matter. The matchups that you draw in the early rounds of the playoffs will make a difference. So those things will be debated, and you'll probably potentially have some matchups in the regular season that would have implications in terms of the two teams seeing each other in the playoffs.
For sure. But
so I think there are so many different tangents, so many different angles that we're not even aware of right now just because we're not indoctrinated into the format, the system that they're going to adopt. But I'm just simply pointing out that the system that they have now currently does not make sense.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're right. I can't necessarily predict the ins and outs of the conversations next year. I could just say personal preference. One of the things that I currently love about college football is that the system doesn't allow you to lose. And I think that's so cool, like that you have to win every single week. But I want to do one exercise here, okay? That I want to play out not what the hypothetical scenarios are going to be, because we've done that all show. We want more of your phone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN. I want to play out what we think is going to happen this week so we can figure out what the actual four would be. So gotcha. Here's what we're going to do. Who wins Georgia and Alabama?
Georgia.
Okay. Who wins Michigan and Iowa?
Michigan.
Who wins Washington and Oregon?
Oregon.
Who wins FSU and Louisville? Oh, wait, you have Oregon over. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. FSU, Louisville.
I actually think it's Louisville.
Okay.
Wow.
Who wins Texas, Oklahoma State?
Texas.
Okay. Based on that, the final four would be Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and Texas. I assume Texas would jump Ohio State. I can't guarantee that, but I'm going to assume that with a win against a top 25 team this weekend. I would assume then Washington would be out overall at 12-1, having lost to Oregon. Obviously, Georgia and Michigan are easily in. FSU is long gone. So you think Ohio State could be in that scenario?
I think Ohio State could be in. I think it could be Oregon, Ohio State. Oof. I think so. I mean, how much stock are we putting in a Big 12 champion?
Okay, so here,
how much stock are we doing it?
Much stock is literally in the bank account of all the Texas boosters that watch the team that are going to want to watch them in the college football playoffs?
Yeah, but again, the committee had a chance to put Texas in front of Ohio State, and they didn't.
Yeah.
There was a clear and obvious chance that they did that. So if they're telling us that, then I don't know how much weight the Big 12 champion is going to carry when it comes down to that scenario. If Florida gets bumped and Washington gets bumped, then Oregon's clearly in. I think the other team ends up being Ohio State.
888-SAY-ESPN. You can be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Your biggest beat for the college football playoff rankings last night. 888-729-3776. Coming up.
Wouldn't it be just like the committee to have a rematch of the semifinal last year between Georgia and Ohio State?
Yes.
It would be just like them.
That would be brutal. Coming up.
It would be
if
a
you
beat
thought
down.
The rankings was the most crazy or the craziest story in college football yesterday, like that what we just saw is the craziest thing in college football, you're wrong. You are wrong. Wait till you hear what else happened in college football yesterday. Coming up next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, so if you thought the rankings were the craziest story in college football yesterday, I think you're wrong. I didn't see this one coming, got to be honest with you. Reports out of Arkansas. They have rehired their former head coach, Bobby Petrino, as their offensive coordinator. Remember, he was 33-17 at Arkansas. What's the issue? Why is that a bad thing? You get a guy that coached 50 games there. They were a top three team in America at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
So when they rehired him, did they rehire his assistant too? Oh. His quote-unquote assistant?
Well, I'm glad you asked, CeCe. Because for those not involved, Bobby Petrino was the head coach of Arkansas, was married at the time, if I'm not mistaken, and got into a motorcycle accident. Well, that's horrible, right? We know the famous picture of him in the neck brace and the bruises at a press conference.
Yeah, got banged up.
T's and P's.
Yeah.
The motorcycle accident was with his assistants that he was having a relationship with that maybe wasn't the most appropriate of relationships by way of university funding towards their...
Do we know that to be fact?
Well, I think we know something. Here's the thing. A guy fired from your university for, let's do it this way, alleged lies?
No, I think I'm not saying it's alleged. I think that's...
Lies?
Yeah.
Relationships that are in question with employees at the university? What? I can't even believe you're eligible to be rehired. He should be allowed to work in this world. He should be allowed to work in football if somebody wants to hire him. To be rehired by that university? I'm sorry. What are we going to see next? Ben Simmons traded to the Sixers? I mean, this is the most stunning.
Is it?
You don't think this is stunning, this rehired?
Haven't we learned in sports that winning is the only thing that matters?
Yep.
Haven't we seen time and time again people put their moral compass to the side in order to make sense of or justify employing people that might not have the greatest moral compass? Or might have made some sus decisions in the past.
Yeah, we see it time and time again. Think about the Deshaun Watson situation.
Come on. That man
had 2 dozen charges against him, or not charges, accusations against
lawsuits
him for
filed.
Sexual misconduct, and got a $230 million fully guaranteed bag from the Cleveland Browns.
Okay,
and
imagine
gave,
him getting traded
and
back
they gave
to the
Texans. 3 first-round picks plus.
Imagine him getting traded back to the Texans.
With that contract.
That's what this is.
That's what the Bobby
Petrino
situation is.
Could you imagine you wake up in the offseason one morning, you're joining us here on Unsportsmanlike, and we say, breaking news, Adam Schefter has Deshaun Watson traded to the Texans. Forget the CJ Stroud part of it, right? Just I'm saying, this is how crazy this is.
But if he was balling right now, would it really shock you?
Yes!
No.
It would.
If the Texans missed on CJ Stroud, which clearly they didn't, but if they missed on him, and Deshaun Watson had the Cleveland Browns in the pole position in the AFC North, you think it would be crazy? Like, eventually down the line, we could have a reunion?
I'm telling you right now, Bobby Petrino's going to end up as the head coach at Arkansas again. You watch.
I would not be surprised.
You watch. He's going to end up as the head coach at Arkansas again. That they're going to say, hey, he was the best coach we had. We did great things with him. Great things!
You know what would be the bigger shocker? If he ended up the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons again.
Oh, my God.
Like, that would be it. The way he bounced on the Atlanta Falcons, he would end up being back with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Let's see if people out there could top it. Because we just gave
Bobby Petrino's had a colorful coaching career.
Deshaun Watson back to the Texans. Not for similar reasons, but I was living in South Florida at the time. Nick Saban back to the Dolphins. I mean, it would be unbelievable. Obviously, there's off-field stuff with these other guys. There was nothing with Saban, of course. But a hire or a reacquisition that would be more shocking than what we saw yesterday, Bobby Petrino back to Arkansas. 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, a lot of people also want to jump into the college football playoff rankings. Let's get them in here. Kelly in North Carolina listening on SiriusXM 80. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love your show.
Morning.
Real quick,
you.
I have two topics. Or 2 points. Do you guys think Michigan is being penalized for the whole sign scandal? You know, does that have any play, you think? And my second thing, I'll listen offline. You guys were talking about Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's yes. Golden Grahams all day. And yes. just because you're big, that don't mean you're selective or fine taste. That means you eat too much of everything. Mm. So I'm going to leave that right there. Appreciate you guys. Have a good day.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Kelly, is that the Golden Grahams?
That's a fair assessment. Yeah. I mean, I use my size to justify my taste, being a connoisseur of all foods that are good. And he happens to disagree. I'm just saying.
Not to check you out.
I don't think I've steered anybody wrong when it comes to my recommendations on food,
That's
though.
The thing. Not
like
once,
the places
ever.
I'm throwing out, it's pretty well documented that those places have really, really good food.
Except for Cinnamon Toast Crunch over Golden Grahams. Okay.
Right. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is great.
But not, yeah. And not
is that an egregious pick?
Not to check you out, but I've always found you to be a big guy, not a fat guy. Yeah. Like, you know, you're just an enormous man.
That's not what the scale says, though.
Okay, back to you, Bob. And then the first point.
I appreciate it, though.
The first point, maybe they are holding that against Michigan a little bit. Well, then say it. Say it. Hey, you know, we have to factor in that this team that is ranked 2 overall had their head coach suspended for 6 different games this season, and 3 of those have to do with on-field cheating scandal, so we are factoring that in. Just say that if that's the case.
But I don't think that's the case, though. I mean, if we're saying that, like, I mean, here's the thing. Michigan beat, what, 2 ranked opponents? Georgia's beat 4. Like, 4. Like, they beat a top 20 Kentucky team. They beat number 12 Mizzou. They beat number 9 Ole Miss. They beat number 18 Tennessee. Like, what are we talking about? Like, there's no debate. The committee's not penalizing you. They're not saying that you're behind Georgia because of what happened with Jim Harbaugh. They're saying that you're behind Georgia because your schedule was light.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I want Michigan. I think Michigan is one of the best teams in college football. They're top 2, and they might not be 2. That's how close I think it is between them and Georgia. But I understand why the committee has Georgia ahead of them.
I just thought after a win of that magnitude of a team that was ranked so high – and it was such a hyper-focused game that they would jump to number 1. That's what I expected. That did not happen.
More surprising, if Michigan rehired Connor Stallions or Bobby Petrino back to Arkansas. That's what this is. Michigan this offseason is like, we have a new special teams coordinator. Oh, yeah, who's that? Connor Stallions is our new special teams coordinator. Adam in Montana listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Adam?
Yeah, I was just wondering what your guys' opinion is on Washington against Oregon. They get a chance to avenge their loss in the Pac-12 title game. But you don't see that opportunity for a team like Ohio State, who faces a number 2 ranked Michigan team. They're now ranked behind number 5 Oregon. They don't get a chance to avenge that loss. They don't get a chance to climb the rankings just because of the divisional alignment in the Big Ten. You have perennial powerhouses who don't get a chance to play their way in, and some that do. I want to know what your opinion is on Ohio State versus Oregon, where Oregon gets a chance to play their way in, or Texas gets a chance to play their way in, or an Alabama gets a chance to play their way in, but Ohio State doesn't get that chance.
But Ohio State
they
blew
did.
Their chance.
They did have a chance to play their way in by beating Michigan this past weekend.
Right.
I mean, everybody understood that. Everybody, like, going into that thing, it's not as if they didn't know that they were in the same division as Michigan was. Like, you get it. Like, there's only one team from your division that's going to go to the conference championship. And the game, a part of the allure of it is, each team is standing in the other's way of getting to a national title. I don't understand the question.
Yeah, I think you're 1,000% right about that. Some tweets coming in. Dr. Pepper inbox, at Unsports ESPN, at Upco Radio, at Chris Canty 99, at M. Smallman, at ASB1216. Following a historic 0-16 season, the Rod Marinelli has been rehired as Lions head coach.
Wow. Okay. Rod Marinelli.
What about Nathaniel Hackett back to Denver?
That's a good one. That is a really, really good one. Of course, all the college football coverage will be on here on ESPN Radio. We'll have the selection committee, the playoff selection committee, final rankings, Sunday, noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. And we will have the countdown to kickoff with the official reveal live noon Eastern. And, of course, we have all the games as well, the semifinals, the Rose Bowl and All-States Sugar Bowl, New Year's Day, and the National Championship on January 8th. We'll have it all here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, in-season tournament in the NBA has some clarity. Tim Legler will help us discuss next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Middleton puts up a dainty shot at the horn, and he drills it from the right corner. What a shot from Cash Money Middleton.
You know, we're hungry for it. We won it. It's exciting times for us to go to Vegas for the first, you know, in-season tournament, so we're happy about that.
We had to do that? Bucks Radio Network. Great. Awesome. They beat the Heat last night. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Simone, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst in studio, as the in-season tournament has our quarterfinals. Lakers, Suns, Kings, Pelicans, Bucks, Knicks, Pacers, Celtics. We will have all of those coming up, but we have to get two quick things from Legs before we get into the tournament. One, give us a movie that you've seen recently that you like.
I thought you were going to go with something about the Commanders.
That was my second thing.
That was my second thing. Why would you do that to me?
We want you to actually come back.
Wait, quickly tell everybody about your AMC movie pass that you have.
Yeah, at AMC movie pass, you get to go up to 3 movies a week all month long, 12 movies a month for like $25 a month. If you're not part of that package. I will say this.
How do you have time for that? Well, you watch every game. You scout everything.
And I've got a 2-year-old also, so I have not been taking advantage of the pass with AMC. But I do plan on seeing Napoleon here. Maybe even
outstanding
today.
Movie, by
maybe
the way.
Maybe even today.
Saw it this weekend.
There you go. I might go today.
All right, then let's reverse the process. Ed, you ask CC one question about the Commanders that you want an answer to, and then we'll get into basketball. Go ahead. You're a diehard Commanders.
You can ask it. Doesn't mean I'm going to have an answer.
All right. is everybody going to be gone from the staff at the end of the year, including Bienemy?
Yes. Gone.
That's a guarantee.
Yes.
Okay.
You can rest easy.
Is that what you want, Tim?
Well, listen, I think I've seen some things out of Bienemy. I've liked it's creative, but 80% of your snaps as passes with a terrible offensive line shows me like not really playing to your personnel. So that's why I was a little concerned about it.
And who was the first person to say that?
Yeah, I was the first one. I still don't understand how you lead the league in passing yards, lead the league in passing attempts, and Terry McLaurin has no 100-yard receiving games.
Well,
how is that even possible?
Basically, you're reiterating what I'm saying at the end of every first quarter when we go an entire quarter without a target to the best player on the team.
I don't understand.
I've been screaming it for the last year.
But we're going to fire the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
that trading away Montez Sweat and Chase Young actually makes you worse.
Well, at the same time, though, as a guy that's seen every snap, the confusion in our secondary – is epic.
Oh, the secondary
it's
is trash.
Epic. How far away they are from receivers.
I love legs.
It's literally
so up on
comical
that.
How far away they are from receivers on every dropback. It's embarrassing. It's
bad. All right. In-season tournament. I actually don't think there's much debate. It's been a success because guys care. Now, here's the thing. I got to be fair. You know I love the NBA. We all love the NBA. Does the average everyday casual fan understand what's going on here with the points and the running up the score? It seems really hard to understand.
In the beginning, absolutely no idea what was happening other than, okay, this court looks crazy. What's going on? Let me look into this a little bit, but it's so complicated when you start reading about the tiebreakers and all of that stuff. I will say this. There's been a progression not only in interest, I think in education about what's happening. And now, obviously, this is what people care about. We finally have it to where you don't have to read all these tiebreakers anymore. These are the 8 teams, and so ready to go. I do think fans are into it, and I will say this. I was dead wrong on the interest the players were going to have in this. I didn't understand getting a trophy when you have a much bigger prize at the end of the year. Like, how much is this going to matter to these teams? I was wrong. They got into it pretty quickly, and you did feel a difference in these games when you were watching them as opposed to a normal regular season game.
Legs, you know I'm a Lakers fan, so what happened on Monday night was hard for me to watch LeBron James suffering his worst regular season loss. But Joel Embiid, 30-point triple-double in 3 quarters, Tyrese Maxey's growth. I mean, is it fair to say that this Sixers team is better? And if they are, Have they done enough to close the gap with the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks?
Significantly better. This is the most viable threat I think Joel Embiid has been on to actually get to the finals.
Wow.
I'm not, now look, you got Milwaukee and Boston there. I think they're still a different tier.
Okay.
But Philly is right there on their heels. They've closed the gap because a couple things. One, obviously Maxey, we had to find out his ceiling. You've been seeing little splashes of it while Harden was there, but living in the shadows a lot of nights too. That's gone now. He's got the basketball. He's able to do his thing. And his ceiling is potentially an all-league caliber guard. So that's what you have now. But more importantly, he's unflappable. He has nights where he starts off slow and he doesn't stay down that dark place like James Harden would. If you could see by the end of the first quarter, if Harden looked a certain way, this was going to be the next three quarters after that. That's not the case with Maxey. So it gives Embiid different body language, different energy. Like, this dude is going to be here for me, next to me, when we need him in the fourth quarter, even on a night when he has struggled. The confidence that Maxey's given him because of his confidence, his buoyancy, like how much fun he's having, it's changed the entire dynamic of the locker room, the dynamic of the organization. It's also gotten the most out of Tobias Harris. Like, you can make an argument that that has been the best trio in the NBA this season. Embiid, Maxey, and Tobias Harris. I mean, those three guys collectively are getting you almost 80 points a night between your top three guys. So it just feels different. It's Philadelphia fans are spoiled right now. You know, Philly's been winning.
too many good things for Pat Costello.
That's too much, man.
Philly sports fan.
And then the Flyers. Yeah. You got to always put that on the end of that. But, but the other three, listen, Philadelphia is legit, and this has been really fun watching Tyrese Maxey blossom into this player that I really thought he could be. Probably 2 years ago, I saw this in him, and now he's getting the opportunity.
Curious, Tim, because you say that the Sixers are not at the same level with the Celtics and the Bucks. Is there something that they can do down the road that would put them at the same level? What exactly are they missing that keeps them from being in that top tier?
I think the difference is Damian Lillard and Jason Tatum, because they're perimeter-based players that can end matters, that can get their own shot, that are just such an elite-level offensive player. That's a notch above what Tyrese Maxey is right now. And even as dominant as Embiid is, very difficult to run your offense through a big guy that, unless you're Nikola Jokic with his passing ability in late-game situations, because double teams can take the ball out of your hands. So now who's going to have the ultimate answer when you need it? And I look at Lillard, I look at Tatum as just being like a notch above in those moments. And look, Boston, with what they did by adding Drew Holiday and Porzingis, look at that starting five, right? That's the best team, I think, in the NBA right now. Certainly been the best team through the first, five, 6 weeks of the season. Philadelphia is just not quite there. I don't know that there's something that they can do personnel-wise to go make an acquisition at the trading deadline. I think they feel like we're going to take our chances with Embiid and Maxey leading the way against any of these teams because they're that special. We shall see. Lillard, to me, is now giving Giannis finally what he's really needed, which is that guy to take the pressure off of him in the fourth quarter. He leads the league in clutch points this season, even though he hasn't shot well. He's been the best fourth-quarter player in the NBA this year. It's exactly what Giannis needed, take the pressure off of him. Late games, you saw it again last night.
Tim, let's do a temperature check at some of these top draft picks. Victor Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Scoot Henderson. Anything pop out to you about any three of those three guys?
Yeah, Chet Holmgren, to me, has been a revelation. I know he's a second-year rookie, and that's definitely an advantage because you're around pros for a year. You're in a different strength conditioning program. You're watching film every day. So you definitely have an advantage over a guy like Wembanyama, like coming in and playing right away. Having said that, you look at a guy that's averaging almost 18. He's their second leading scorer. He's their second leading rebounder. He leads them in block shots. He's shooting at a 50-40, almost 90% from the line clip. Historic numbers. Very few guys ever in a season, even great shooters, have gone 50-40-90 shooting splits. Like, that's what Chet Holmgren is doing. He's tougher than I thought in terms of his physical strength and playing in traffic and grabbing tough rebounds. He holds his balance when he drives to the rim. He's got an awareness defensively that does not look like a young player. When I watch him and his position and his head on a swivel and his communication as a backline defender, it speaks that this guy's been in the league 5-6 years. He's just so mature. He never changes his expression. Nothing phases the guy. I've been blown away, like, how impressed I have been with Chet Holmgren. I think the guy's going to be a star. So of those guys, he jumps. Also, by the way, he's in a competitive team. Like, Oklahoma City might be a top four team in the West when it's all said and done. So he's playing competitive games every night. Wembanyama's in a non-competitive environment. Kind of just their whole season is about his development. Chet Holmgren is doing his thing while also contributing to a winning product. That to me is just very impressive.
Talk with Tim Legler, of course, ESPN NBA analyst. You'll see him on Get Up, First Take, beginning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. News came across yesterday that caught me by surprise. Mark Cuban selling the Mavs? Like, was that rumored at all?
Didn't see that coming. And then you read that his return on investment, he bought it for $280 million. He's going to sell his share for $3 billion. And you go, okay.
Is that good?
I guess. That's not a bad return.
The at-risk white billionaires keep winning.
I know. I did not. I think that caught everybody by surprise. In fact, when I saw the headline, you know, so you're skimming through the news, and you see that. Like, wait a second, what? And then you click on it. Like, had no idea. I don't know what that's about.
Well,
he
it's
hasn't
an interesting
really elaborated
thing.
On it.
Yeah, it's a $3.5 billion valuation, which doesn't mean he's getting 3.5.
Right.
It means that's whatever percentage he sells, but he's still able to run the team.
Yes.
That's even better. That feels like a Shark Tank deal.
It is, and I think they want him to continue to do that. I mean, look, you look at Dallas, the way they've reinvented themselves over and over. And look, it helps when you get two transcendent players like Dirk followed by Luka. I get it, but the way that they have gone through coaching changes, the way that they have reinvented their supporting cast, you know, the Kyrie Irving thing, whether you agree or not, certainly looks a lot more comfortable this year than last. That you get them in a close game in the fourth quarter, that team has a chance every night because of those two guys. So I think they trust Mark Cuban to keep the Mavericks competitive with his decision making. So, you know, steps away in one aspect, but still maintains control in another. I'm good with it.
Tim, real quick before we get you out of here, patience or panic with the Golden State Warriors?
I think you're starting to get to the point where you have to suspend reality and suspend belief that they are still a threat. Like, as long as 30 is healthy, meaning Curry, you're going to always give him a chance every night. You want to watch him, that guy's going to give you a chance. But when you look across the board, Wiggins underperforming. Clay, the worst year probably of his career. Chris Paul banged up again and hasn't really played as well as they expected. Kuminga and Moody, no leap forward. In fact, in Kuminga's case, I think a regression. Moody kind of stagnant. You look across the board and you go, has anybody on this team, Draymond, the suspension, who has really played well on this team and lived up to expectations besides Curry? Nobody. When you collectively have that many guys doing that, you start to wonder in the landscape in the West, if you dig yourself too big of a hole, I don't care how well guys start to turn it around, is it enough to really challenge the Denvers of the world, the Phoenixes of the world? I don't know. I'm not going to give up yet because of Steph Curry, but it's not looking good. I know that.
Tim Legler, get up. Of course, he'll be on First Take all over the ESPN NBA coverage. We always appreciate it. Thank you, Legs.
All right, you got it.
All right, it is holiday season, of course. It is Christmas season, which means it's time for an incredibly important message this holiday season. If you want to help save the American Christmas tree farmer, if so, get real and keep it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees. They're available and they're not expensive. Would you rather spend less for real Christmas trees and assume a farmer is saving their job? Of course you would. Or spend more for a fake Christmas tree and assume a farmer is losing their job? Why would you want to do that? It's worse for the environment, it costs more, and somebody loses their job. Buy real Christmas trees at Lowe's or wherever Christmas trees are sold and get more information online, plus participate in cool contests at GetRealKeepItReal.com. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Gotta be honest. Sorry, I cut you off there.
That's okay.
Legs bummed me out on one thing.
What?
What's that?
I don't want the Warriors to be done. I don't want the Warriors to not be in the mix.
Listen, I know you don't want Bill Belichick to be done in New England, but things come to an end, my friend.
I'm hanging on a lot of things
here. You can
hang on.
It ain't gonna change the results.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
I think we're learning so much about Evan.
Yeah.
You really don't like things to end. Like, you're the person that will fight tooth and nail for a relationship, for a friendship, for things of that nature.
You were saying?
Right?
Yeah, I would say that's true. Probably to a fault.
Change is good, Evan.
I'm not saying it's not.
You know, when they turn on the lights, that means the party's over. You can go home after that.
We need sunglasses in New England.
The good time ends, right?
You're saying in one calendar year, or one sports calendar year, let's say, we could have Belichick out in New England, and we could have this entire Warriors run over.
Yep.
I don't like that. You may continue.
Is there another one? Another one. End of a dynasty or...
Like right now?
Yeah, in sports. Are we witnessing the changing of the guard in any other capacity?
I mean, the Yankees stink, but I'm not unhappy about that.
They haven't won since 09, though.
Yeah.
It's awful.
You know,
Alabama's still alive for this weekend, right?
Yeah. Oh, Clemson a little bit.
I feel like that's... I'm not sad about that one.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not sad about that
Dabo struggling in Clemson at all.
Is there anything else? Are we seeing another changing of the guard?
Your Cardinals had a terrible year this year.
If Alabama loses in the conference championship game, it kind of feel like, you know, their dynasty or their dynastic run is over with Saban, right?
I don't know, because they're right there on the edge. It's not as if they're not in the conversation or they're not going to be totally loaded
for next
season. Sure,
but we used to live in a world where it was a surprise if Bama wasn't in the national championship
game. That's true.
Now we'd be surprised if Bama was in the national championship
game. So I'm taking this as Monday, if Georgia beats Alabama, we are looking forward to a conversation where CC is going to suggest Nick Saban back to the NFL?
No.
Okay, back to you, Smalls.
No.
I was hoping you would say yes on that. That would be interesting.
I don't think we're going to go there.
No.
I would like to see it, though. I don't think he'll ever do it. But wouldn't you like to see him try again in the NFL?
No. No.
You had enough?
Just be a great college coach.
You've had enough?
Be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college coach of all time. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Smalls. All right, positive, let's smile.
Positive programming.
Okay, well, you know who was smiling over the weekend? Baltimore Ravens fans, as they beat the LA Chargers 20-10. And I love a great touchdown celebration. I love a good celly. And I thought Zay Flowers had a remarkable touchdown celebration in this game. So he gets the touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson. He gets the ball. He's running over to his teammates. He throws it over his head like a bouquet at a wedding.
There you go.
Isn't that an amazing?
That's very creative.
I mean,
Zay Flowers, you can't ask
bouquet.
For a better something that's on brand. You know, got a little bit of a pun in there because of the last name. I love it.
Now, his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, not a fan.
No, not
Lamar
a fan.
Lamar did not like it, but I wanted to get your take on it because I thought it was so creative.
Lamar is wrong. Lamar does a lot of things well, but him having good judgment when it comes to that celebration, he's wrong. It's a great celebration, very creative by Zay Flowers. He got his teammates into it. I'm just wondering where he got the flowers from. Books.com, maybe. Potentially.
Maybe.
Holla at us.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Shout out to Books.
Yeah, shout out to Books.
I got to be honest. I'm so dumb. I never even thought that he did that because of his last name.
What did you think he did it
for? I never thought about it. CC just brought it up. I'm like, oh, that makes sense then. Never thought about that.
Here's the thing. It's cool when it's a play on the last name, but not as good as Jalen Waddle's is with the Penguin.
Yeah,
The Waddle with Jalen Waddle and the Penguin.
That's great. It's
that
phenomenal.
Is good.
Next one.
We talked a lot about Northwestern football at the beginning of the season because of what was going on with their head coach, Pat Fitzgerald, and everything happening inside the program. But as the season progressed, we didn't really talk about them, and we probably should have. But shout out to their head coach, David Braun, who took over the program in very tough circumstances. He was named the consensus Big Ten Coach of the Year after his team went 7-5. He was the interim head coach and became the head coach at Northwestern. But shout out to him for taking over a program that was in a very difficult spot and pulling out a 7-5 season.
No thanks. I'm not going to shout him out.
I'm not going to.
No, I mean, how did you just shout him out?
Because
you and I are both Big Ten graduates. You graduated from Illinois. That's supposed to be a rival for Northwestern.
I graduated from Wisconsin. Listen, let me tell. There are a few things in this life that I know 100% certain to be true, and it's that no one from Northwestern and no one from Illinois cares about that rivalry. We don't care. It's not a rivalry. We're in the same state. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
There's no juice behind it. Not going to shout
somebody out for Big Ten Coach of the Year
award. Come on.
Michigan was undefeated. Ohio State had one loss.
He took over a very volatile situation.
That's giving him a pat on the head.
No, I'm not going to.
They gave him a pat on the head.
Sorry. Next.
Not at all?
Nope. No, I'm going to pass.
So I'm giving him credit. You would rather shout out Jim Harbaugh, who got suspended because someone was stealing signs while in his employ that may have helped them win, rather than shout out a coach who took over a really volatile situation and a very fractured university and somehow found a way to have that team have a winning season?
Well, based on that, then Sharon Moore is my vote for Coach of the Year.
Oh, my goodness.
Sharon Moore was 6-0. Hey, doesn't that apply? Volatile situation, coaches suspensions. That's where I'm going.
But he did have a team that was 1-11 the year before, too, though. They had one win.
One win.
I actually voted for Connor Stallions.
They had one win. I mean, if we're giving Deion credit for the Colorado bump from 1 to 4 wins, we kind of got to give David Braun credit from going to 1 to 7 wins, don't we?
No. Next one's possible. Okay.
So right. We've been talking a lot about cereal this morning. Pat, during his segment, was saying how expensive cereal is. We've been debating Cinnamon Toast Crunch over Golden Grahams. What are our thoughts on Pop-Tarts? Are we pro Pop-Tarts? Because I love this. There's going to be a Pop-Tarts bowl.
It's Thursday, December 28th,
5:45 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on ESPN. And here's the kicker, guys. The Pop-Tarts bowl is going to have an edible mascot. The winning team gets to take a bite of the costume on the mascot.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. That's very creative. Didn't see that one coming.
Can you eat a Pop-Tart not cooked?
Yes. No, I don't like them cold.
Yes.
You can. You can.
I like it hot.
I can. I absolutely can. And I have.
What is your favorite one?
Oh, the s'mores Pop-Tart. And here's the crazy thing.
Oh,
if you tell me what's your favorite Pop-Tart, you're going to tell me a lot about you. The s'mores Pop-Tart is number one on the list. Close second is the frosted strawberry. Not the frosting. Naked strawberry, yep. The frosted strawberry.
With the sprinkles?
Or raspberry or cherry.
Exactly. Amazing.
Frosted, one of the fruit flavors, but s'mores is number one. Now, I can eat s'mores either way. I do think slightly hot, let it cool down a little bit.
No doubt.
Is where you
That's
go.
That's the way to go.
But you can't eat it That's cool
the sweet
at all.
Spot.
No, I like it hot.
What? I'm sorry?
You heard what she said. She ain't stutter.
All right, I'm just making sure.
She ain't stutter. She said it with her chest.
Yeah, you sure did.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.